Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Can I say Happy Father's Day to all the dads here, and I guess a Happy Father's Day in advance to all the dads-to-be, which is going to come up soon. Can I also say thanks to everyone who was here on Wednesday at my commencement service, and for those who couldn't make it but were praying, it was encouraging and sobering at the same time to hear those promises in front of God. I do like it how it was described by one person in the congregation who said, "Congratulations to being more accountable to God." I thought that was a good way to put it. I'd love you to keep praying for me and for my family. That'd be a great thing to do. As I officially start as rector, which is a little bit strange because I've been acting in that place already, in one sense, I want this to be a bit of a chance for us to step back and for us to think about this as being a fresh start, that there's a line in the sand, there's a marker to say, okay, what's next? There's a lot of things to give thanks to God for in the past. But now it's trying to work out where it's going to go and take us in the future. And so that's what I want to do over the next few weeks in terms of this partnership series, for us to be able to think about who it is that we are. And to some extent that might be obvious, but actually to have that reminder, a reminder which comes from God's word. Who are we as Barneys and Grace come together? Who are we in terms of this fresh start? And where are we heading? So I hope that you can make it for the next 3 weeks. Lock it in your calendars. Hopefully you're coming most Sundays anyway. And if you can't make it, look it up online, just so that we actually are on the same page as we just think about where it is that God is leading us. As we do that, why don't we pray and ask God to help us during this time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that we can come together as your people. Thank you for this time now, Lord, that we get to just delve into your word and to think about what it is that you are doing here at church. And Father, we ask that as we hear these words, that we're not people who just let the words glance over ourselves, but Lord, that your spirit sinks it deep into our hearts, that where we need to change, Lord, where we need to repent, that you might give us the strength to do so. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, if I got you to open your wallets, this is a voluntary exercise, you can do this if you like, but if I got you to open your wallets and pull out your cards, I'm not asking you to pull out your money, pull out your cards, I wonder what cards you would find in your wallet. What are the different things that you're a member of? I did this little exercise and I opened up my wallet and I'm a member of IKEA. I've got this big orange card to say that I'm part of the IKEA family, which means that I'm so special that if I go to IKEA between Monday to Friday, I get a free cup of coffee. I'm also a member of the local library, so I get to borrow up to 30 books and DVDs to distract my kids anytime I want. I'm a member of ClimbFit. Not that I get to actually climb myself, but I get to take the kids along if I've got a free afternoon. So I've got a ClimbFit membership, and as well as my kids, they've got the same cards, and I've got them all in my wallet. Now, as important as all those things are, or maybe they're not actually that important, I wouldn't say that being a member of those things, whether it's IKEA or the library or ClimbFit, I wouldn't say that those memberships are particularly exciting. ClimbFit's kind of the closest. Okay, that's a little bit different. But by and large, they're not particularly exciting. I don't go around seeing who else is a member of IKEA. I don't come across, you're a member as well. I don't pull up my membership card and compare numbers. It doesn't work like that, does it? And yet there are some memberships which are exciting. And so if you're part of a sports team or you might be part of a dance team, and if it's going well, it's kind of exciting. Or it could be your work. You're part of a work team. You might be doing groundbreaking research, changing people's lives, maybe even saving people's lives. Memberships like that, well, that is exciting. I wonder what you think about when it comes to being members of church. Members of this church. Is that exciting? Does it get you going? Did you get excited when you woke up this morning to say, I get to go up the road to church and I love that? Is that how you woke up this morning because it was a Sunday? Is it the kind of thing that you talk about, not just on a Sunday, but during the week? You talk with your workmates and your friends and your neighbors? Or is it something that we just tuck away into our wallet, behind the library card or the gym membership? As we kick off our partnership series, I want us to take a step back and to actually see how God sees the church. And what does it mean then to be a member of this church, to be a member of God's church? And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2 to help us do that. It'd be great if you have the Bibles open in front of you. It'd be great if you have questions along the way, but keep the Bible open to make sure that what I'm saying comes from the Bible. Just to take a little bit of a step back again to see the context, it's always good to see where a passage comes from. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 10, it's quite a familiar territory. Paul spells out the gospel in the first half of the chapter, where Paul says, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were by nature objects of wrath. Because of the way that we treat God, the way that we treat each other, God is angry at us, and he should be angry at us. And friends, it's the terrifying place to be under the judgment of God. But because of his great love for us, God makes us alive with Christ. We go from death to being made alive. We go from being under the anger of God to being the friends of God because of Jesus, because he dies for our sin. And there in verse 5, it is by grace you have been saved. It's not something that we can earn. We don't deserve this. It is something given to us. It is by grace that God saves us. Now, often when we actually look at this passage, you know, if you've been coming to church for a while, often we actually stop at verse 10 because it sort of makes sense. Here's the gospel. We have peace with God. Move on. But actually, our passage flows straight on from this. And I don't know if you realize, but peace is all the way through this chapter. First of all, we actually have peace with God. That's what the gospel does. But the gospel doesn't stop there, because actually flowing out of the gospel, we have peace with each other. That's actually what the gospel does as well in verses 11 onwards. That's what our section is about. The Gentiles in verse 11, again, if you've got your Bibles open in front of you, the Gentiles are people who are not Jewish. And there was this huge divide between Jews and Gentiles. They didn't associate with each other. They didn't eat with each other. You were either a Jew or you weren't. You were either the people of God or you were not the people of God. Did you see in verse 12, the Gentiles? And you know, that's actually us there that Paul's writing to. Because unless your mother is Jewish, you're a Gentile. Gentiles, well, they were separate from Christ. They were excluded from being citizens, foreigners to the promise of God. They were outsiders looking in, and they didn't have any of the benefits of being an insider. It's as if they're on Manus Island, the Gentiles. They're the refugees wanting to get in, wanting to be an Australian, to be a citizen of Australia, and all the freedoms and privileges that come with it, to be an insider. But here, because of Jesus in verse 19, these people who are excluded, who are foreigners, well, all of a sudden they're brought in. They can get beyond the fence, not foreigners or aliens anymore, but citizens, not of Australia, citizens of the people of God. But that's not enough. Being a citizen doesn't quite capture what is going on here. Did you see what happens in verse 19? Yes, they are citizens, but members of the household of God. And in verse 18, Paul brings that out. We have access to the same Father, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of God's household. We are part of God's family. That is what is going on here. The picture isn't Manus Island. The picture is Angelina's family. Angelina has 6 children. 3 are adopted from Cambodia, Ethiopia, Vietnam. 3 are biological. But each one of those 6 children, each one is part of the family. Each one belongs. Do you see what Ephesians is saying to us? Ephesians chapter 2. There is no second-class citizen in the people of God. There is no second-class citizen in the family of God, in the church. There's no inner circle and everyone else. There's no in-crowd and out-crowd. There's not the ones who are great and everyone else is just watching on the sidelines. If you're playing sport, there's no reserves. There's no B team or C team. Because God's purpose in verse 15 is not second class or third class. God's purpose in verse 15 is one man, one family, one church. What's that going to mean for us? If we understand what Ephesians is actually saying here, what does it mean for us? It means that we are going to welcome everyone. You know, that's at least part of what this means. We're going to welcome everyone, whether they're from China or Korea or England, wherever they're from. It means we don't judge people by their jobs or where they live. We don't care if they're older or younger than us. We don't care if they have a kid or they don't have a kid. We welcome everyone. Just to make that a little bit trickier, who do you talk to after church? Yeah, and then 5 minutes straight after the service finishes, who do you talk to? Who do you go speak to? Is it just your friends? Is it people who are just like you? Can I suggest to you, to all of us here, can I suggest to you two people to look out for? The person who's new, look out for them. And if you're new, it's great that you're here. We love the fact that you're able to come. But for all of us, that's who we should be welcoming, inviting them in. People who are new and people who are by themselves. That's who we should be looking out for as well. And don't be fooled. They might have children with them, but they're still by themselves after the service or as we head over to lunch. Look out for those two people. Go up to them straight after the service. You know, don't sit around going, oh, okay, somebody else is going to talk to them, and you wait for 5-10 minutes. By then they're gone. Look out for the new person and the person who's by themselves. Who can you help to belong here at church? Because they do. Fellow citizens, brothers and sisters. Yeah, we have family dinners, right? Today it's Father's Day. Often families get together. We catch up with our brothers and sisters. Why don't we do that when it comes to church? Catch up with people outside of Sunday. Welcome them in. We will welcome everyone. But it also means, if we understand this, that we are one church. We are one church. Whether it's the 8:30 service, or 9:30, or Grace, or Castle Cove. In a sense, that's one of the biggest changes for us is Grace. As I start up as rector, it means that we're not separate anymore. In one sense, we've always been part of the church. We've always been one church in Christ, but actually, structurally, we are now one church, where there's going to be one set of finances, one set of leadership teams. We will be meeting at different times, but we're one church. And so we need to make sure that at Grace, there's no us and them. That there's no dividing wall of hostility. We want to grow the whole church, not just Grace. But we want to see 9:30 grow and Castle Cove grow. And we want to see how we can bless them because we are one church in Christ. That's what it means. So here's the starting point. Here's our first point. This is the church, according to God's word. We are members of God's family. And how good is that? But you also see what it is built on, what the church is built on. It's built on the word of God that points to Jesus. Let me read verse 19 again. Paul says, "You're members of God's household. You're part of the family. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." Now, the prophets that Paul talks about there, it could be the Old Testament prophets. And so you've got the Old Testament and New Testament, the prophets and the apostles. He could be talking about prophets in the New Testament, people who preach the gospel. But either way, it's talking about the word of God there, prophets and apostles. It's the word of God that the church is built on, which is about Jesus. Jesus is a chief cornerstone. The idea of the cornerstone is that it's the first block, the first building block, the first stone that you put down. It belongs in the corner. And then from there, the rest of the building goes out. So if I put the cornerstone here, that's where the building starts. That's where it goes. That's the cornerstone. It sets the direction. It sets the shape of church. And that cornerstone is Jesus. In verse 21, the whole building, the whole church is joined together and built up in him. The whole shape of the church, the growth of the church only happens because of Jesus. And if the church is built on anything else, the fact that we all come from the same place, the fact that we like to hang out together, the fact that our children are of the same age, whatever it is, if it's anything else apart from Jesus, that is not the church. It could be a great social gathering, but it's not the church. I remember talking to somebody who wasn't a Christian back then, when I was talking to him, and he went to a church, I won't say which one, and he said it was basically a concert. They had great music. They had a stack of people there. Everyone was excited. There was a great energy. They even had cameras there on that particular day. But then the talk was only 5 minutes. And it was basically the speaker just talking about his thoughts for the week. He didn't say much about Jesus. And this was a non-Christian describing this to me. Even he could pick this up. From the outside, this church would have looked exciting. It was happening. It was growing. It was successful. But the foundations are weak. And it is dangerous. As we go forward, as Roseville East together, we are always going to preach the word of God, the prophets and the apostles. And if we don't, you need to report me to the archbishop. You need to tell me off, because that is how the church builds. As we read the Bible, it's going to point us to Jesus, the Jesus who is the Savior, who loves me and died for me and would bring me back to heaven. As we read the Bible, it's going to point to Jesus, the King, who will say uncomfortable words to us, who will be our judge and tell us how to live. That is how we're going to build the church. Over the next couple of months, as we keep working out how we're going to reach out, what will this mean for us as we come together? What are the different things that we can be doing next year as we grow in this partnership? I want us to be excited about that. To be creative, to say we want to keep reaching out and do things different. But at the heart, it's about preaching the word of God. At the heart, it always has to be about preaching Jesus. I remember talking to somebody who used to go to my old church, and he was complaining. He said, "Why do we always talk about Jesus every week?" And I thought to myself, that's a great complaint, isn't it? Yeah, I'll take that complaint any day. Why do we always talk about Jesus? Because he's the cornerstone. He is the one that the church is built on. Never move away from that. Members of God's family, built on Jesus and the Word of God, and here's the purpose of the church. It's to build the church. Verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When I was in primary school, I was part of a building project. For those of you who know me, I was born in Wagga, and that's where I grew up. When I was in Wagga Wagga in primary school, I was part of a building project. We built our family home. Our parents, being good, resourceful parents that they are, they put us to work. And so I still remember that there was those days that we had a bucket of water that was getting all brown and black, and I had to steel wool and I had to scour those tiles to get all the dirt off them. I remember a time that my dad asked me to go collect manure for the garden. Now, I don't know why my brothers weren't asked instead of me. I asked my dad, and he said it's because my brothers were allergic. I'm a bit suspicious, and one day I'm going to have to ask my dad about that. But when you're a kid, you believe anything. But I was part of building that house. And I remember going there, long after we'd moved, after we'd sold the house. And I remember going to that house thinking, that's where we grew up. Actually, that's the house that we were involved in building. There's a pride that comes from that. In Ephesians, God is embarking in a building project. And God's not just building any old place. God is building the temple. It's not a place of bricks and mortar. It's not a temple like King Solomon or the temple that they built after the exile. Those things, as big as they were, covered in gold and all sorts of things, they were just practice runs. They were just trial runs for the real thing, because the real thing, the real building is the church. It is God's people. That is what God is building. The temple is no small thing. It's not something which is insignificant. It's like Buckingham Palace. It is where the Queen lives. It is the seat of her throne. It is like the White House, but this is God. If you want to know where God is, if you want to know where he rules, it's the temple. If you want to know where he lives, it is the temple. Did you see verse 22? You are being built together to become a dwelling, a house in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the place where God lives, the place where he meets his people. It's not a building like the Old Testament. It is his people. It is us. We are God's home. Isn't that amazing? We are God's home, and God is still building it. He isn't done yet. God is still building his church. He's still building his home. This is God's purpose, and it should be our purpose as well. Because in chapter 4, in just a couple of chapters after this, in verses 15 to 16, this is the same job God gives to us. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up into Jesus. Verse 16, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God is building his church, and he calls us to be part of what he's doing, to build with him. For those of you here who are architects, you'll know a name called Harry Seidler. Harry Seidler is a famous architect who died 11 years ago. You might not have heard of him, but you've seen his buildings. Harry Seidler won all sorts of awards. He designed the MLC Centre in the city, Australia Square, the Australian Embassy in Paris, the Hong Kong Club in Hong Kong. He designed all those things. Can you imagine, before he died, if he came up to me, Albie, a minister, and said, Albie, I need your help. I want you to be part of this, part of my building projects. Actually, Albie, you are crucial to that he would want to build with me. That wouldn't happen, would it? It wouldn't happen. But you know what? I built with his daughter. I built with his daughter. We taught scripture together back when I was in college. And we together taught children about Jesus. And that building project was way bigger than the MLC Centre. We were building the Church of God. As we taught those children about Jesus, we were building with God. God wants to build with us. That is a huge privilege, isn't it? It's a huge privilege. When you came to church this morning, did you realize what you were coming to? When you woke up, did you realize you were coming to the family of God? You were coming to a place built on Jesus in the Word of God. You were coming to a building project where God lives, and he wants us to be part of that. Being a member of church, being a part of that, how can that be boring? How can that just be something you do on the side? This isn't something that you leave in your wallet, you know, somewhere tucked away behind the library card or the gym membership. This is a membership to get excited about. Being part of a sports team or a dance team or a computer game team, we are the body of Christ. Groundbreaking research, saving lives. Friends, we are in the business of saving souls, giving people eternal life because of Jesus. We've got a fresh start in front of us. With Barneys and Grace come together to be Roseville, East Ankin, what do we want this to be like? There's a few things that we can't move away from in Ephesians, some things that are non-negotiables. We will be people who are welcoming. We will be people who are always built in the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. We are people who are builders, reaching out. But on top of that, what is Roseville East going to look like? What are we going to shape it to be like? Now, let me just share with you my wish list. I want this church, what God is going to do the rest of this year and next year and for the next 5-10 years to come. I want this church to be a place where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That this is bigger than just what Barneys and Grace were separately, but together to see what we can be doing for the kingdom of God. I want this to be a place which is about Christ and not about me or what people think of me or my security or my comfort. I want Rose Valise to be a place where lives are changed. I want us to be a church where we understand what church is and what God is doing. The family of God, built on God's word, built on Jesus, being builders, building God's house, his home with him. Friends, as we look forward and think over these next few weeks, be excited and be part of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord,